Welcome to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. I'm Monica, your host, and I am so excited you're joining me. Each week here on the pod, we open the Bible, we talk about prayer, we explore what the Catholic Church teaches. For me, getting familiar with God's Word transformed my relationship with Him, and I want that for you too. I want you to be comfortable in the Word. I want you to be familiar with it, confident, Bible literate. I am here to help you one week at a time. Let's dive in. Welcome back to episode number 3 of our mini-series about Jane de Chantel and Francis de Sales. Today, we're going to be talking about the Visitation Order, which is the name of the order that Jane and Francis founded together. And of course, because it's the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon, we're going to talk about this event in the Bible, the Visitation, and how there's actually a really fun connection to the Old Testament. We're going to kind of explore why Jane and Francis maybe chose this title. I'll offer a personal reflection about why maybe I think they chose this title, but also pulling from their writings, from the websites of the current Byzantine sisters, etc. This actually gets a little complicated because there's an order called the Salesians. Actually, many Salesians and then Visitation Orders, Byzantines, they're all connected in a web, and I'm going to try to explain to you the best I can my understanding of it, but that's where we're going today. If you have not yet listened to episode 1 and 2, I would recommend go back. We are learning about Jane de Chantel and Francis de Sales, mostly because this has been my passion project for the past year and a half or so. Really, since the birth of my daughter in 2024, I have been writing this story about Jane de Chantel and Francis de Sales retold in the modern day. So I really was attracted to the life of Jane de Chantel, but she is so old, in a sense, she lived in the 1600s, that it was hard to relate to her because the life choices she was making would never happen in today's world. Because, like, for example, she was forced to raise the child of her husband, who he had an affair, and then she had to raise that child. That just wouldn't happen in today's world. Or her father, like, father-in-law blackmailed her into living with him and running his estate. That just wouldn't have happened. But because she was a widow, because she didn't have the capacity to live on her own or care for herself, the law was not protecting her, this type of thing happened, right? So I was so intrigued. Like, I wanted to answer the question, if Jane lived today, how would she live? What would she choose? How would Francis de Sales advise her to live as a stay-at-home mom who also, well, she work from home mom, I guess, who is doing her best, but who is so pressured. She has so much pressure, so much expectation, so much difficulty in her life that she's like sharp-edged, stone-hearted, perfectionistic. And she transforms. She has this transformation of heart, this going from a stony heart to a heart of flesh, this gentling of her through the spiritual direction and the holy friendship of Francis de Sales. He's known as a gentleman saint. He's known as the love doctor, the doctor of the church. He is so into the Song of Songs. He's one of the first people who started talking about the universal call to holiness and the idea that holiness is not just reserved for priesthood and religious life, but actually it's for the laywoman and the layman, for the widow, who nobody else would bother spiritually directing or writing letters to. He wrote his whole introduction to the devout life to a woman who has a family and children, a widow. So anyways, all that to say is, if you want to go to episode 1 and hear more about her story, go back there. And that's the episode about why I really wrote this book, why I'm so passionate and loving about this. And then episode 2 is an interview with my friend Mary about the gentleness of God. We dive into scripture in that one. And we are hoping that we retrace the footsteps of Francis de Sales, partially at least, in his discovery of a gentle God, because he was also scrupulous and perfectionistic before he discovered God's gentle love. He actually discovered it through the Song of Songs, which is going to be our next episode. We're going to talk about the Song of Songs and perfectionism next week. But for today, August 11th, we are talking about the Visitation Order, because the Visitation event in Scripture introduces a new character into Jane and Francis's narrative. Mary, Mother of God, right? Mary and Elizabeth are the key characters in the Visitation. And in Jane and Francis's writing, Mary is not usually at the forefront. So it kind of begs the question, where and when did they develop a Marian devotion? And why did they name their order after Mary's Visitation? Out of all the choices they had in Scripture, out of all the things, why didn't they name it after the Song of Songs or the Gentle Shepherd or anything like that? So we're gonna talk about that today, which is kind of fun. Tomorrow, August 12th, is Jane de Chantel's feast day. So you still have time to whip up a cake, a batch of cupcakes, get some French dessert going on, celebrate, because it is Jane's feast day. So exciting. And that is the day tomorrow when my book, Janie, comes out on Amazon. So I'm self-publishing it on Amazon. It's available tomorrow, and I would just love it if you check it out. I'll mention that again, probably more than you want me to, but at the end of the episode. Okay, after that lengthy introduction, here we go. Let's talk about the visitation order. Okay, so just to give you a kind of 10,000 foot view, as best I can, Jane and Francis decided at the end of, not the end of Jane's life, but near the middle of Jane's life, they had been in spiritual direction and they'd become holy friends for years at this point, and they started dreaming together of religious order. It wasn't uncommon for women who were widowed to enter into a religious order after their children grew up. That was not uncommon because women couldn't sustain themselves, and a religious order actually provided some type of security, right? And community and care that they didn't necessarily receive. So the fact that we see actually quite a few widows having a second vocation is actually, like, it's a common occurrence, right? So the fact that Frances is proposing this idea to Jane, he really developed the idea and invited her into it. She discerned it with him, and they were the co-founders. It makes sense. Francis's heart was that he saw other women. He spiritually directed a lot of women, especially lay women being non-religious women. So widows, mothers, and he realized there's this lack, this gap, this need in the church for a place for women to have access to be. That's not quite a religious order. His vision of it was not a traditional religious order. Now, it did become a traditional religious order. I'll talk about that in a minute. But his vision was actually like a gentle religious order, like a uncloistered, maybe cloistered for the first couple of years. But the idea was that they actually had an apostolate, which means work in the world. They were able to bring their children. They were able to attend to their grandchildren. They'd be able to, kind of live in the world as needed. They'd be able to go care for the elderly, the poor, serve them. So it'd be this kind of semi-religious order, a religious order that really is more of a community of women, no formal vows, but that they live together in poverty and in relying on the donations of others and through spiritual direction and through prayer. And they would have this second vocation, but it really less strict than all of the cloisters that existed at the time. At this point, nothing existed like this. In today's world, we have a ton of active religious orders for women. We're very familiar with them. You see, women in habit all the time. They're not all cloistered. They're teaching, they're nurses, they're, some are hiking mountains up in Wisconsin, Sisters of the Word, I think. There's some that are in media. They're giving speeches at Sikh and at Catholic conferences. They're traveling, they're spiritual directing, but this wasn't always the case. Back then, the Ursulines were the only ones really who were like an active women's religious community. But they were founded in the 1530s as a secular institute for women living at home. It wasn't really a established norm that women who lived in religious life could actually do other things too. Okay, so ironically, Vincent de Paul, who became Jane's spiritual director later, he founded the Daughters of Charity, which is the first real active apostolate religious order in 1630. Probably from the influence of Jane, who's like, I want to do things. But at that point, Jane and Francis's dream, their active apostolate, their gentle religious order, was not approved. So what they wanted, they submitted in the end and said, the world's not ready for this. We will be in obedience to the church, obedience to the bishop, obedience to the cardinal who is saying no to this. So the visitation orders did become a traditional cloistered order of women. So you might be confused to read in Janie, for example, my book, or read Francis's letters to Jane and describing this vision of this religious order, and it comes out different than what they intended. And that's a real mark of their humility, right? That they said, okay, well, we want this, but we can't have it, and we're going to be obedient. Now, just a side note, there are mendicant orders from the early 13th century, like Franciscans, Dominicans. They leave their cloister and their order to go beg, to preach, but it's not the same as having an apostolate because they're a little bit more they're called mendicant. It's just a whole different category. So they started the visitation order, right? Jane and Francis. They started it with the logo of the Sacred Heart, which we'll actually talk about in a couple episodes here about their